what ways did you use prayer in your faith as the key? And do you have any prayers you want to share with our audience today?
So I think my journey to Sikhi, even though I was born in a Sikh family, I didn't understand the Sikh faith. It was kind of like one of those things when you're born in an household, you don't really engage with it because it's just there. You tend the gurdwara, you tend the prayers, unless somebody in your family is very into it and they understand it, they can explain it to you. But unfortunately, mine was like many others. They just knew just the things that they did was the things they did, and a very limited experience of the understanding of Sikhi. So when I grew older, I kind of adopted the faith for my purpose. When I was in my 20s, in the latter parts of my university study, I started to research, started to understand for myself what it was all about. And I had to go through that learning curve of going beyond what was just there as face value and go to the scriptures themselves, understand and learn the language again properly and decipher the messages. And for me, prayer has changed a lot. So what I started off was thinking prayer was me doing 5 sets of prayers a day and keeping that as a routine. I didn't really understand the prayers, just hoping that they would do something, you know, like it's a thing. To then start to take a step back away. And the way I did it was, right, so the Guru Granth Sahib Ji is like 1,430 pages. It's a volume. It's a big volume, right? And so just as we go to university or any educational institute, our lecturers aren't going to say, you must know this from day one. So just read it, you'll get it. It's kind of bite-sized, compartmentalized learning, case studies and referencing and discussions and debate. And it's meant to be something that, you know, you digest at your pace and really understand it and articulate and discuss it. And different parts of your life is going to be different because those messages resonate at different stages. So for me, practicing my prayers nowadays is more about really understanding what this one line means, or what does this one shabad mean. Shabad is like a hymn, so there's a theme. And there's even the beauty of the Sikh scriptures is it actually has pause. It has the word pause, rahau, in nearly all the shabads. And like that means stop, contemplate, think before you go ahead. But culturally, as a community, we're like, we carry on. Like, we've got to read this all within an hour. So I think for more, it's me being reflective. But I think the one thing I would share with the listeners is, like, there's one line in our daily prayers, which says, duk daru, suk rog bea. And duk means pain, and daru means medicine. So the old school form of like daru can mean alcohol, but in this perspective it means like medicinal use of that. So most medicines were based on alcohol basis. So it says duk daru, which means pain is your medicine, right? And then the second part says suk rog bea. Suk means pleasure, happiness. Rog means disease. That basically your pains are your medicine and your pleasures are your pain. And it quite blows your mind. They say, why would the guru say that? You know, isn't it meant to be the opposite? We're praying for like pleasure all the time, for good times, for positivity. And what it is the deciphering of that means that without resilience in your life, you will not become stronger. You will become weaker. So the more pleasures you have, the more comforts you have, when those pleasures and comforts are taken away, you are in pain, because you've got dependent on these pleasures. There's almost like a bit of gratitude, a bit of humbleness, living a humble life. So I always try to relate this to a real life situation on a daily basis. If I go to have a shower and the water, the boiler breaks and the water's cold, I'm used to nice warm showers every morning. And suddenly I've got cold water. I'm going to be distressed. How am I supposed to get on with my day? I can't have my hot shower for the day. I can't go in the cold shower and appreciate that. So if you're taking that as face value, if you're taking a cold shower every now and then, which is actually really beneficial for your health, you get used to that. You don't get used to the hot. but you appreciate the cold showers as well. So suddenly my boiler breaks tomorrow. I'm like, ah, fine. It's a cold shower day. It doesn't change me. I carry on. It's made me more resilient. So even just taking that one line, you can apply that in so many instances that everything, maybe having a car, you know, it's a pleasure. That means we walk less. So our health suffers. Like how many applications of that one line in that scripture is applicable to life? And it's like I read somewhere it's probably on social media, it says basically if there was no wind, all the trees would rake, and because the wind strengthens the trees, the roots. Without resistance, the tree cannot be strong and sturdy and last as long as it can and bear fruit. So just as we are a tree, we need resistance in our life. And I think life will throw curveballs at you that resistance we can't control, it's out of our control. But there's another set of resistance that we can control. So for example, you are studying in university. It's not easy, it's a difficult thing, but you choose to commit to it. You know, you do your study, you follow the program. After 2-3 years, you've gained the knowledge, you've progressed. Others may think, oh, I want to play games and watch Netflix all the time. That's the opportunity cost, isn't it? So what they gained, they watch Netflix, but they haven't done the other thing. So it's, what do you choose in life? Choose your own resistance, because there's an element of that and you can be the owner of that. And then the more conscious you are of owning your own resistance, you are then more ready to take on life's resistance when it turns up and faces you in the face. That's probably the one sort of example of a prayer that I would want to share.
Thank you.